F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. I'm Paul George. Protect the ones you love. Spot a stroke F-A-S-T. Fast. Life is why. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Vintage rock, rhythm and blues comes alive on the Rolling and Tumbling program. Tuesdays at 4 o'clock on WHFR Radio. Listener-supported non-commercial radio from Henry Ford College.
Listener-supported non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford College. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show known as Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And today, my special guest is Rael Vera Joy Hava. She is a Doctor of Divinity who is the founder of Joy Harmonics. She has been certified in several healing modalities. However, she specializes in weaving light, color, and sound throughout the body. Rael, how are you today?
I'm fine, Mike, and what a privilege and an honor to be here.
Well, okay. You may not feel like that by the end of the show. Just kidding. But no, I'm glad you could make it. And the first thing I want to do is ask you about part of the introduction. It said you weave light, color, and sound throughout the body. How do you do that?
Well, I do that in many different ways, and according to how I am guided by spirit. I connect to the person's higher self, and their higher self speaks to my higher self and then works through me as me in the physical realm with tuning forks and color that I get. It comes in just beautifully through the frequencies that I use through the tuning forks. I work with Cephisio mostly, but I also work with many other frequencies now, and I'm incorporating the frequencies of the planets, and this all comes through their higher self. I'm guided in the moment as I work through the body, up the back of the body, and then back down, grounding in all these frequencies through the chakra system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, how do you tell there are different vibrations? I mean, you mentioned several different kinds of vibrations. How do you determine which is which?
Well, they're measured in hertz. They're all scientifically measured in hertz. And through, you know, the amazing technology that we just come so far in technology nowadays that they're able to put them into an actual tuning fork, like what's used for instruments, tuning a piano or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And you use these to tune a body, per se?
Well, yes. Yes, that's very good. I'm glad that you said it that way, because I don't know, most of the listeners probably know who Deepak Chopra is. And his quote is that the body is held together by sound. The presence of stress or disease indicates that some sounds have gone out of tune. And this is what happens through a lot of the EMF, which is electromagnetic frequencies that are bombarding all of us because we have so much electronics on the planet now. It, you know, tends to disharmonize the cells. It can. It doesn't have to. And that's why it's so important for us to realize that at this time that we're going through, we need to really do everything that we can to stay centered in and harmonized within our body. And we actually have the inner technology to do this. And this is what I work with. Through these sounds, it helps to harmonize the cells physically, emotionally, mentally, and then into the spiritual body, which is the causal plane, of which really is where everything starts, okay? And then it works its way down into the thinking body, and then it goes into the emotional body, and then finally, where we feel it as aches and pains or physical disease. And working with these sounds, it actually is like a cellular massage for a person. They actually, sound penetrates, as you know, sound is created. It goes and goes and goes, and who knows where it goes? I mean, it could go to the next universe. But what that does for the body is it's amazing. They've been able to actually look at the cells, and they see how the cells become harmonized, like free radicals start, you know, they easily and gracefully start completing themselves through harmony rather than, you know, fear, like, survival mode. I got to steal from other cells, you know. They find the food source or go to the blood where they get oxygenated. And it's just amazing where we are. And this is ancient technology, by the way. This is not something that has just, you know, we've recently discovered it, but you can see tuning forks in the hieroglyphs in Egypt, which I've been there, and there's almost in every temple you see tuning forks. So mm-hmm. We used to work with this technology, okay? It's just we're tapping into it again. And let me back up. So I was saying that we have this inner technology, and what my work does is actually help the person to become more harmonized within their being so that they can then access their own inner technology. So my work, I mean, I will be actually grateful if I'm put out of business someday, because that's
really?
That's what I want to do, right? Is to help people to activate this own inner technology. So there'll be plenty of other things for us to do, okay? We're creating a new planet. We literally are creating a new planet.
Yes, we are.
So I'm, you know, just so honored and so grateful for where we are, and, you know, that I can help others to, first of all, open up, okay? When I say I work with color, the color green actually is very opening for the person. So I have other modalities that I use other than the tuning forks. And we can get into that as, you know, as the questions come up. But even Tesla, Nikola Tesla said, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. And that is what my work is about.
Mm-hmm. Now, when someone comes to you, maybe are they complaining about something? I mean, or do you do like a overall check of the body to see where they're out of alignment? Or how does that work? How do you determine what a person needs as far as, you know, vibration goes?
Sure.
Or sound?
Sure. And, well, you know, some come with physical ailments. Some just want to be more activated, okay? In my work, what they talk about as far as DNA goes, they're talking about junk DNA. Well, in my research, and I know this in many more ways than one, okay, is that we're operating on a two-strand DNA, okay? We are literally designed by our creator to be operating on a 12-strand DNA. So this is what they say, junk DNA is actually our expanded morphogenic field that connects us to the entire universe, okay? And we, at one point, were operating with all 12 strands, okay? Through genetically being modified, and I can't get into that because it's a very long story. Maybe on another interview or something.
Okay,
we'll save that
for another time.
Yeah, okay. But this work and a lot of the healing work that other people do, such as Reiki, which I also am a Reiki practitioner, there are many other modalities that are actually helping us through bringing in the light into someone's body and helping to harmonize their being and open them up. We're literally actually unraveling, so to speak, or activating these other 10 strands of DNA. Okay, they're definitely not junk. I can tell you that. Mm-hmm. I can contest for that they are not junk. They are give us access to our true abilities, our divine inherited abilities that have been shut down because use it or lose it. Mm-hmm. And we haven't been using them.
Right. So now, do you work on all 12 strands? I mean, does your body, I guess, use that on a day-to-day basis? You're up to par. You're not just on two. You've improved a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's a good question. I am not walking on water yet, okay?
Like the Master Jesus. Oh, okay, all 12 strands, you're walking on water.
Well,
pretty much, yes.
You, just like in Avatar, all of your abilities come on board, okay? Mm-hmm. And literally, I know that this is where we're headed. We are headed for what I call the ultra-human race. And it's very exciting. So for myself, what's happening, see, this taps us into dimensions, and this is a very in-depth subject, so I'll try to kind of keep it as simple as I can. So our morphogenic field is takes us into multi-dimensional aspect of our being, okay? So right now we're operating, pretty much the masses are operating in a third-dimensional realm, okay? And actually we tap into the fourth dimension as well, because that's what's called the astral plane, and houses more of the emotional body. So we can say the third dimension is the physical reality. The fourth dimension is more the emotional reality. The fifth dimension, we're going more into the mental plane, which actually taps us into a way higher order of consciousness, which is, I believe, is where the plants are, where the animals are. They're not in time. They're out of time, okay? So they're into cyclic flow. All right, that's one of my daily intentions, and I know the listeners out there have been feeling a lot of this solar magnetic wave energy that's happening. You can research it online. The solar activity is affecting our brain. It's helping to activate the DNA, but so we're kind of experiencing it in a bit of a chaotic mode right now. It's like the Atlantic meeting the Pacific, okay? It's like the light is meeting the shadow, where everything is being like shown. The light is permeating every bit of shadow residue that we have in our being. So it's consequently creating, we have to look at our stuff. You asked me not to swear, so I won't.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, that's what's happening, is that all of our shadow side, which is not bad, it's just another expression rather than being of love and light. It's more of a fear-based survival kind of consciousness where people that have been operating on this are really struggling, and some of them are leaving the planet. I don't know if you have any friends that have been passing away, but I have had a lot of friends pass away, relatives, some spiritual friends that just blew us out of the water, you know, just suddenly left. And, you know, everything has a reason and a purpose. We all are accepting this in our own ways. But it's a difficult time. As we're, you know, raised, the frequency of the earth is raising. We've gone into the photon belt, and you can research that online as well. We're being, you know, permeated with this light from the great central sun that's coming into our sun and then further into all the planets. All science has been watching all the planets. They can see that all the planets are changing as well. And everything is online now. So we have access to everything. That if we have any question, you can find it. Google it or DuckDuckGo it or whatever search engine you use. Right. Now we can find it. Literally, the library is there. The library, the Hall of Records we're able to access the Akashic Records through, it's amazing what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Right, in a positive way, right?
In a very positive way, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Briefly, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Rael Vera Joy Hava. She is a doctor of divinity who is the founder of Joy Harmonics. She has been certified in several healing modalities. However, she specializes in weaving light, color, and sound throughout the body, and we're kind of talking about that right now. Now, you said earlier that we're out of time. What does that mean? We're out of sync, or what exactly does that mean?
No, we're actually going into sync. When I say we're moving out of time, humans have been put in a box, okay, through the Gregorian calendar, and I can't remember exactly what year that was.
I don't know either.
Earth runs in cycles just like the universe does, okay? Our normal harmonious cycle is 13 moons, okay? So when we created calendar of 12 months, it kind of put us in a box, okay? It put us in more of a limited way of thinking. It kind of knocked us off our cycle pretty much. I don't want to go into, was it done intentionally? I'm sure it probably was, and for what reason? I'm not going to go into that either. However, time is a created form of experiencing, and there's a lot about how that works in online as well. What we're going to be moving more into a flow. Okay, more into a gentle flow of experience where we'll probably use a bit of a different measurement and go back into cyclic time. I know that the Mayans are already and have been doing that for eons of time. Mm-hmm. They go by a totally different calendar. They have actually several calendars, but they're more in the sequence of flow of nature. Okay, one with nature, being one with nature. And when we put ourselves in the box of a 12-month calendar, it knocked us off center a bit. And that's another thing that this work is about. It's about bringing us back into the flow, being in a third dimensional construct, a time-space continuum, sort of speak. We can be on the Earth, and I don't even want to say third dimensional, because we're going to be moving out of that and going more into a fourth to fifth dimensional consciousness, which is where it's all in the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and we won't feel so. Right now, everybody's going, "Oh my God, time! There's no time," and this is what's happening literally because of where we are in our cyclic evolution here on the planet Earth. We are going into more of a. I just lost my train of thought. Anyways, I'll come back to that. I know it'll come back. It's more of a flow. It's more being in sequence with nature, like as I spoke about earlier. And this will totally change things on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It will. The body will respond better. We won't feel so out of sync. Oh, I know what it was about the time collapsing. It's actually happening inside of us, okay? We're being permeated by these subatomic particles from the sun, okay? And it's literally changing everything about us and the plants, and the whole entire Earth is being changed. Our body is taking this on, so it seems like that we're losing time. Mm-hmm. When in reality, we're going into a different type, the higher realm of the fifth dimension, which we cannot operate like we used to operate, okay? So it's about getting lots of rest, drinking lots of water, eating good foods, purifying the body. And that's part of what my work does too, is it gets people they just start wanting to do this, okay? So people come to me that have illness, but some people come to me because they want to get higher, more acclimated to the fifth dimension, and that's where my work comes in. They want to have more of their abilities come online. They want to know more about their past lives, okay? So this is what the work does. It gets us it gets us more into our morphogenic field, gives us access to these, to the 90% of the brain that's not been, we haven't been using, the 10 strands of DNA that have been shut down because we haven't been using them. So then they're able to literally tap into these things themselves, whether it be in the dream time. At first, usually that's where it starts. So I always tell people to be very mindful of your dreams after a session and keep a dream journal so that you can kind of reference things back. You can reference back to your dream journal, because things will happen, you know, in the future, and you'll be like, oh my gosh, that's right, it was about that dream. And half the time, we can't remember. So then you go back and you access your dream journal, and there it is. And you're like, oh my God, it's all coming together now. I see why this, I had this dream. You know, some of them are prophecies. Some of them are past lives.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, lots is happening in these realms for humanity. And this is where the work comes in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the dreams can show people what's going on or what might be going on in their lives. Again, if they're just open to, you know, interpretation, obviously, but I think that dreams can tell individuals quite a bit, even if they don't feel they're psychic or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Now, what I want to know is, do you think that we're eventually going to get rid of time? Because technically, time is a man-made invention. It's not really natural per se, but do you think that we're moving to that point where we won't have clocks and watches and all that stuff in the future?
Absolutely. Yes. I don't see that in the new earth whatsoever. It's going to be a process, okay? Because each one of us, when we go into the fifth dimension, it's almost like, okay, so when they talk about the sixth sense, right? This is part of what's going to be accessed. Like when tsunami happened, all the animals knew ahead of time where to go. Right. So this is where we're going to be accessing this, all of these abilities that have been shut down. Now, the indigenous tribes still use them, you know, they because they didn't allow themselves to be put in a box. They didn't allow themselves to be programmed. Verbal teaching was passed down from the grandparents, you know, every generation. It didn't matter if the books were burned or, you know, it just didn't matter, because they had a verbal teaching and that kept them connected to nature.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when you're on a planet like this, a planet of nature and of minerals and the elements and all of that, this is how we're operating in on the planet. Who knows what we do on other planets? You know, I'm sure it's different, but maybe similar, some probably similar. This is what they know, that they're one with nature, with all of the elements. And they actually master the physical experience through their oneness with the air, with the earth, with the water. They literally know how to work with these elements, and they're able to part the waters like Moses did. Now, do they, you know, indigenous tribes use these? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I would love to go to Australia and be with the Maori and ask these questions, and someday I will. I am a world traveler, by the way, too, and this is part of what has brought me into wanting to, you know, search for more and wanting to access some of these ancient healing modalities.
Right. Well, you said you were in Egypt, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And so you've gone to many different lands seeking out spiritual places?
Yes. Yep. I've been to Peru and Bolivia, to Tiwanaku and some of the ancient civilizations. And walking some of these lands has literally tuned me into some of my past lives. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I've done this work in past lives. So here I am again. And I'm just so grateful to be able to assist people on their path. And the goal is... you know, once we get activated into this, literally it's ascension, which means that we're all on board. We are, you know, purified. We're operating on a non-fear based, we're operating on love.
Right. Well,
no war.
Right. Again, there is fear as we know it right now, but eventually that's going to dissipate.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. That's also created. And, you know, thank God for your, this is what I call, I've had a dream since 2004 when I went to Israel. You know, they were saying all these bad things about Israel. And I took a trip over there with Jimmy Twyman, who's a peace troubadour. Some of the audience may know who he is. And we did 2 weeks of venturing out to the Dead Sea and Jerusalem and Safat, which is northern, the Sea of Galilee, and all these areas and actually we went to the West Bank too. And yes, you could tell there was buildings that had been crumbled and bombed, and their military there. I mean, they have 16-year-olds carrying machine guns. Yes, they do.
Right.
But, you know, at the time, it was like, this is all that they know, and they were operating in fear. But yet, we went to the West Bank, and we went into a school that was called the Jews and the Muslims there that were doing a unified school. They were teaching them together. They were literally coming together, both religions, and having the children go to a school. We donated a bunch of things to the school, and we prayed for peace. And so, you know, the media has the ability to really put a lot of fear out there, okay? And that this is, it definitely gets good ratings because it generates a lot of interest. And we've been so, humans have been so used to kind of getting excited about all this fear, even though subconsciously we know it's not good for us. But we're coming into a place where we have radio shows like you now, and we have there's lots of good news being promoted on the internet and through YouTube. And the dream that I had that came to me, because they were perpetuating things. My poor mother was watching the news at the time, and she's thinking, oh my gosh, my daughter's over there. So it was kind of a false, you know, it was not setting the truth, okay? It was setting fear, okay, into mm-hmm. the West Bank area. And when I got home, I had this vision of creating a light-filled news station, literally on network TV, where humanity would have a choice, or at least our area, or do a global, it would be a global news feed where we could literally portray all these wonderful good things that are happening around the world, you know?
Right. But the negative things, the things that you say provoke fear, yes, those are the things that are promoted by the media, because that is something that obviously gets ratings. You know, it's the old saying, if it bleeds, it leads, on the, you know, 11 o'clock newscast or whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, it is sensationalism to a certain extent. But to counteract that, what is your suggestion? Is it something to just maybe ignore the news? Because I think that a lot of good things are happening, but they don't get reported, because who cares about that?
Exactly. Well, let's create a light-filled news, Mike. You want to do it?
Oh, yeah, sure. We'll start our own station tomorrow. How's
well,
that?
Yeah, I would love that. I would totally love that. Anyway, right. It's a dream. And you know, Gaia TV is doing a lot of it already, promoting the truth. It's happening on the internet as we speak. Someday we will literally have this, you know, and it'll be great, because we'll be able to get humanity involved at a level where we'll go into these cities around the world and we'll say, hey, what's happening in your town today that, you know, something really great that you'd like to share with humanity? And I just see it. I have a vision. I know it will happen. I can't say when. But as we know, all the greats have said, it starts with a thought. It starts with an idea. Mm-hmm. And it moves from there. Oh, I'm getting chills. That's confirmation. That's how I get confirmation. That it is on its way. So we just hold this in our heart. People, help us to create this vision. You know, so there will be maybe this. There'll still be the news where certain people can listen to the regular news, but they'll at least people will have a choice. I want to tune in to see what's happening. I bet you anything that they'll be out of business. I bet you anything. If there is a light-filled news that people can go to and watch good things that are happening, and we'll give the news about the weather and about all these other things that are going on, but it will be more in a way to educate, what's going on and how can we help.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, there again, I mean, there are so many different, avenues to get messages out with the computers and everything else that we don't necessarily have to rely on a television station per se. I mean, there's lots of ways that it may start.
It's true. Absolutely.
Once again, you're listening to WHFR.FM. This is the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Rael Vera Joy Hava. She is a doctor of divinity who is the founder of Joy Harmonics. She has been certified in several healing modalities. However, she specializes in weaving light, color, and sound throughout the body. And we're going to just maybe dial it down a little bit. I want to get more back to the basics that we started off with. Now, when you're working with tuning forks, do you actually use the tuning fork on a person's body? Do you touch that person with a tuning fork? How does that work?
Well, with the body tuners, yes, I do. There's actually, they're weighted and there's vibration that comes from them. Different acupressure points that I work with. This is all spiritually guided. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have a basic tune-up, by Soma Energetics. But my practice has branched out incredibly through listening to the guidance of my team, as well as the person's, their angels and guides and masters that they work with, and their higher self, more importantly, which is at that level, we're one with mm-hmm. all the masters and angels and all of that. So I have with the Cephisio tuning forks are not weighted, and I go through the field. I weave them through the field, and sometimes I'll use two forks. At the end, I actually hold all the 7-8 forks in my hand and weave those through the body to kind of blend everything together. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, by weaving, what do you mean? Do you just wave it over the person, or do you actually lay it on the person?
No, it's a weaving in the auric field.
Okay.
And in the chakric field.
So you're not really touching the person with the tuning fork per se?
Well, the body tuners I do. So Cephisio is no. They're not a weighted fork, but with the mm-hmm. body tuners and the planetary forks, those are also weighted. I will, yes, it go through the acupressure points that where I'm guided to mm-hmm. to use those, and I work with the hands and the feet, so the fingers and the toes, so it's reflexology, but it's I'm using sound
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. frequency.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, do you just start with the overall well-being type reading, or do you know right away, specifically, intuitively, which parts of the body really need to be worked on, and you go right to those parts?
I work my way up through the chakra system, okay?
Okay.
So chakras are energy centers, okay? The energy comes in to the body from the back, okay? And then, it's like a swirling energy vortex that comes in through, like, the root chakra is down by the tailbone, okay? That's your connection to Mother Earth. It's more of a red color. The frequency is in the Cephisio is 396 hertz, and that is more of your relationship with the earth and money and things that we work with on the physical plane. Okay, and then I go up to the neck chakra. So there's we basically are working in an 8 chakra system. Many of the light workers that have done the work for a while have really activated, more like 12 and 13 chakras. But basically the healing is more of a harmonization, and I see and am guided into doing different things in different ways and different combos. So I bring the sound up from the chakra into the ears, okay, so the person literally hears them. Sometimes I'll use two, which is like a harmonization of it's like what's called brain entrainment. So you're getting, it's like it comes in and sort of like bilaterally goes from one ear to the other, and it's also merging the brain hemispheres, mm-hmm. which is very powerful and needed at this time, you know, as we evolve.
Mm-hmm. So somebody came to you, though, complaining of shoulder pain or something like that. How would you address that? Would you, again, just start with the chakras and then work your way over to the shoulder area or whatever they happen to be complaining about or they're concerned about?
Well, I work, Spirit has guided me to work on a whole body level, okay? This is where the traditional medical, it's just, the system is not, it's diagnosing. It's not really working on a whole body system. A systemic whole body is how the human being operates, okay? So when someone comes in and complains, I will definitely, I listen with my heart, but again, I take guidance from their higher self, okay? So whatever that higher self, oftentimes where the ailment is happening is not really where the injury is or the imprint is in the Illuminous body, in the auric field, okay? Sometimes you can't even see it in the physical body. You have to go into, sometimes even go into a past life where mm-hmm. the body right. is, you know, it's like the myofascial field, okay? This is in, it's an imprint in the spiritual body. This is the causal plane. And it actually is influencing us here in the physical dimension in this incarnation, in this lifetime. So this is why sound is so wonderful, and color, which is also a frequency, is that it permeates throughout all space and time.
And to everybody as well.
And to
right?
everybody as well. And animals love it. And when I'm working on somebody in someone's home or, you know, they have animals there, they love the sound. They literally want to be a part of it. And mm-hmm. some of them are. Some of them we allow them into.
Really?
Yes. Well, you know, they'll sit under the table or, you know, they just want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. So they feel comfortable when this type of thing is going on. And does it actually attract animals?
It does attract animals.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And you're willing to work with them. Have you ever just worked with an animal, you
yes.
know, period?
Yes, I have. I mm-hmm. work with an Australian. I think she's called an Australian healer. She's has been catching the Frisbee. I mean, an amazing Frisbee dog for years, and her spine has really taken a toll. So I gently and lovingly, they can only take it maybe about 10, 15 minutes, but I work with the body tuners with her, which is more of a physical aspect, which is more of what they feel more comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
So I just go down her spine with the body tuners.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, how long does it take for a person to get in alignment again with vibration? I mean, is there no set time or just depends on the person?
It depends on the person and, you know, how deep things go for them. But people are really getting activated. I mean, taking themselves to the next level. They just, I have lots of testimony. I didn't bring any testimony with me, but, you know, I can give my website where the testimonies are.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
we'll get to that.
Right. No, mm-hmm. I usually let everybody give that information out towards the end of the show.
Sure.
But, I mean, if you want to give that out now, it's up to you.
Okay. Well, it's joyharmonics.life. We just pretty much got it operating today. It's not fully done yet, but the landing page is there for everybody to access. And, you know, love to hear from people, and I'm open to, you know, doing sessions. You just go ahead and give me a call. I prefer to get a phone call. I like to deal with people one-on-one rather than through an email or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more personal for me, and I'll give the pricing and all that at that time as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I work out of my home, which is in Chelsea, on a beautiful 80-acre parcel of land. It's like a sacred sanctuary. So if people feel like coming out there and having a session done out there, I'm open to that. Or I work out of the Enlightened Soul Center in Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's very peaceful with this 80 acres.
Yes, yes.
People can just feel that and appreciate it.
Absolutely. I've created a light portal there, actually. So it's a great place to come and receive healing.
Mm-hmm. What is mm-hmm. a light portal?
Well, you know, we have these abilities to literally connect with the higher realms. And through our divine inheritance of being a God sovereign being, we can call forth things by directing, you know, working as a unified field with the higher realms. And this is what I did on this property. I literally asked for a portal of light to be anchored in there, okay, from the high heavens all the way down into the crystalline core of Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's a constant stream of light.
Right.
Coming in and out of there. Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, you mentioned that it seems to be a theme through past lives that you have been in some type of healing modality.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get started this lifetime?
Well, this lifetime, my parents actually in the 70s started getting into the Unity Church, knew Jack Bolins personally. And, you know, this was working more with unity consciousness, but it led them to Carl Sagan and Patrick Flanagan. Carl Sagan had the show The Cosmos back in the 70s, which
right.
was an amazing show. I mean, I would love to see that more of that on network TV. I mean, we were getting it right back then, weren't we? And it kind of got all shut down. But my parents decided to open up a metaphysical bookstore, a self-improvement bookstore in Ann Arbor in the 70s called The Lighthouse. And I was helping them there. I was just a teenager, pretty crazy, wild teenager. And was
really? How wild?
Well,
I mean,
we don't have to get into detail,
but
we won't get into that. But
yeah.
I loved life, and I still love life. But you know, we were just, you know, I was a hippie back then. I was, you know, free.
Really,
love.
What a surprise!
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, what a surprise, right? It was a wonderful time to be alive. But we kind of missed the mark. We kind of got veered off the path a little bit ourselves.
Right. Well, it happens from time to time.
Yes.
But anyway, what led you to this? I mean, you were just hanging out at the bookstore and...
Well, I actually had there are a couple ways to really kind of embrace your spiritual life. And one of them is an awakening, a spiritual awakening, where you kind of gradually go into this. And I was one that had a spiritual experience where it was... Seriously, from 1 second to the next second, I literally saw everything in a different light. So pretty much the higher self aspect of me walked in and just was like, boom, I was here. And
mm-hmm.
I was ready to be of maximum service to the divine plan. And I just surrendered and said, show me the way. I'll do whatever you want me to do to my higher self. From then it just led me from one thing to another, you know, and I prayed about being around like-minded people, and I started getting involved in spiritual groups and traveling the world and, you know, participating in spiritual large groups of people, like 55 groups of us would go to different places on the planet and pray and, you know, integrate more of ourselves. And, yeah, I started doing the tuning forks in 2007. I literally ran across, somebody introduced me to a retired nun. She actually left the nunnery and the church and because she said it just wasn't for her, and got into energy medicine, which was the tuning forks.
Mm-hmm, right.
And she said, Rahel, they're giving a training here. It was in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this. I just really feel like this would be so powerful for you. And I was just ding, ding, ding. I get this like green light in my mind's eye, and I get this warm feeling in my heart that tells me this is go. This is a go. This is something for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, and I've been doing it ever since. And
right.
So that's been my main thing, but I've also taken on another healing modality called magnified healing. And this is all on the website, folks, so you can access, you know, what I do, and there'll be information about it, and, you know, to see what resonates more with you if you would like to take on any of my energy medicine. So magnified healing is similar to Reiki, a bit different, but it was, I took that on in 2004, actually, before I took on the tuning forks, and got away from it. But then came back to it. I was guided. This is just real quickly. I definitely want to include this in my story because this is how miracles can happen through this type of healing and opening our hearts. So I was working for my sister. Her and her husband were naturopaths for a lot of the celebrities in LA area, and worked for them for about 7 years, helping them do their books and collecting the money. She became very ill through alcoholism, and her husband called me and said, Rael, your sister's in the hospital and she's dying. You need to book a flight for you and your mom and get out here as soon as you can. You've got to get out here as soon as possible because she looks like she's leaving. So I booked a flight, got there the next day. 2 weeks previous to this, my inner guidance told me to reinitiate myself into magnified healing. So I was doing it on myself every day, and I thought, okay, obviously I'm going to need this somewhere down the line. Somebody's going to come to me and want this healing modality done for themselves. And so I opened. Well, immediately as I got the phone call, I knew right then and there. I knew why I had reinitiated myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grabbed, my books, and I grabbed that manual, actually, because I'd only gotten partway through. And when I got on the plane, I put the book out into the pocket, and honestly, this is how it panned out. Opened up the book. So my sister's on life support, by the way. Her liver and her pancreas are failing, and the very next page I opened to was etheric organ transplants. So I read through the chapter, and I connected to spirit, and I said, okay, is this for me to do? Is this for us to perform this? My mom and my sister's she's into energy medicine as well out there.
Right. Well, what exactly is that? Etheric, you say, what was it?
Etheric is working on the spiritual plane. Okay.
Right. Okay. So it's not actually working on the physical body per se.
Well, this is what happens. You see, we think that humans are only focused on the physical. Okay. Mm-hmm. Really, in truth, our divine blueprint is etheric. We were created in the image and likeness of Creator through these blueprints of our physical body. However, most of us is actually, the spiritual body is etheric. And, people that have had near-death experiences, they go over and they say, oh yeah, we look a lot like ourselves, but we're more like see-through, kind of more etheric like. Well, the divine blueprint is more on the etheric level. So when we perform this, I had to ask her higher self, and I did, and the higher self said, you have to ask the physical incarnation. I feel that Charisse, this was my sister's name, and I didn't want to mention any names, but anyway, sister, I love you. We had to ask her physical body, and she was literally in a what's called a coma.
Mm-hmm. Right.
State, okay?
Right. Yep.
And so we had to get very loud. So quickly, I gave my mom and my sister a teaching. It was three of us. We worked as a trinity. And we got on the bed and we asked her, first of all, we had to get her permission. She, her eyes were closed, and we very lovingly and just like pleading, please, Charisse, please, can you hear us? Can you hear us? We're here to help. If you want us to help you, open your eyes. We have to know if you want us to help us. And she did. She opened her eyes, and I said, we're here to promote some healing for you, to do a healing session for you, Charisse. Do you want to live? And I'm going to get a little choked up here, but she nodded her head ever so slightly because she was so weak. She could barely move.
Nodded yes, right?
She nodded yes, and okay. A tear rolled down her cheek. So we said, okay, go ahead and close your eyes and just be with this, okay? We want you to know we're here and Spirit's here helping you. And literally we performed magnified healing, and the very next day she was taken off of life support and in 3 days moved out of ICU. The doctor was he said because we said, doc, we need a miracle here, we need you to support us in a miracle, and he said, yes, I do, I've seen miracles happen. So he supported us, gave us an hour with no interruptions, which they actually gave us 2 hours, and he was so impressed and just so freaked out about this miracle. He waived his $10,000 fee. He said, Charisse is my miracle. She's my payment. I don't want any money, you know, because they didn't even have insurance at the time.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing right there to give up that kind of a debt.
Yes,
you know.
It was a miracle, and we none of us will ever forget it. So I always like to bring that story into when I'm speaking about magnified healing. So she's doing well. She's clean and sober. She's actually very much of a healer herself. She's a naturopath and a minister and doing really well in the L.A. area.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So she actually kind of turned her life around
after
that healing.
Absolutely.
That's what really convinced her to, I guess, change her ways and improve her health and all that good stuff, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, you mentioned earlier, we were just talking before the show, you had a poem that you want to read? You want to get that in? I know it's very important to you.
I do want to get this in, and I also wanted to mention about the light chamber. I was guided, divinely guided, to create a healing modality that is, the Spirit calls it the Arc Chamber, which will be at an expo called the Enlightened Soul Expo in Ann Arbor. It's the 11th fair in 6 years, and there's 130 vendors there. It's an amazing, amazing experience at Skyline High School in Ann Arbor. So you can access that through Enlightened Soul Expo. You just do a Google on it, Google search, and that's in April, April 28th and 29th. So come see me out there and check out the Arc Chamber, which is an amazing healing experience in itself, where your body, I work with light, color, and sound in one small area with a pyramid, a copper pyramid over the top of it, and I permeate the body with light. This is the color ray spectrum of the sun, okay? And I work up the body, the chakric system, and back down. And people are also having amazing experiences with that. And you can check that out also at joyharmonics.life, my website. So the poem I'd like to share is what I'm about. I'm really about merging and creating the new earth and operating more from a unified field of one. I'm what's called a universal oneness ambassador and felt guided to share this with the audience. So the poem is titled The Oneness. Energy anchored through time and space, ancient renewal of love and grace, shifting currents open the way, divergent reality comes into play. Our eyes realign to a seeming new place, the one that was hidden in the heart's sacred space. Held by the dreamers, rising as one, the world illumined by the great central sun. The path that was clear now fades into mist as a golden age rises on a spiraling twist. One being moves to this synchronous tone as we each take our place, creating as one. Joyful abundance, wisdom, and grace. Lifetimes, we've journeyed to reach this place. Hearts open wide as love expands our world to transform as we take our stand. The gifts we have that are ours to share. The love we are, the light we bear. Through eons we've been, through all in the now, as with grateful hearts we release our vow. Love is always the final test, all that remains when we relinquish the rest.
Very nice. And who wrote that, do you know?
That is by Angie T. Monrah.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that something that you just recently discovered, or has that been a poem that you've referred to over the years?
This has been a poem that I've referred to over the years. I probably had it... shortly after I walked in, I ran across this, and the walk-in was in 1998, and I've just been growing leaps and bounds ever since then.
Mm-hmm. You can tell, I mean, just by virtue of the fact that how you used to be and where you're at right now, are you amazed at the difference?
Well, I was amazed immediately. Mm-hmm. See, a spiritual experience is an immediate experience. I just had this flooding of chills, electrifying chills come in from the top of my head, through my brain, through my face, down through my neck, my shoulders, my arms, my torso, my legs, down to my feet, and I could feel it going into the earth. So mm-hmm. I was literally integrating my higher self into the now. Now, like I said, I'm not walking on water. And with that comes a lot of challenge because, see, I'm kind of doing a reversal thing. Some people literally trickle that in, okay? They get it gracefully. I've been having to literally from this place of newness integrate all that this physical incarnation has experienced since childhood. So, and believe you me, when the light comes in, and it definitely, all the shadow stuff, you have to deal with it, and you have to deal with it right here and now, just like that. There's no turning back. And so, I wouldn't really wish it upon anybody. You know, some people say, oh, that's so cool, man, you got in right away. It's, you know, lucky you. Well, it's been a process, and mm-hmm. it felt like a really lonely place for a while.
Right.
You know.
Where were you when this happened? I mean, were you just awake or were you, you sounded like you were awake when this happened.
Well,
it wasn't like when you were asleep or anything like that.
No. I was awake. I was totally awake. I was in a place called, it was called Holly Gardens. It was actually an old hotel back in like the 50s, Joe Louis. It was a hotel of Joe Louis's. Mm. And it had been transformed into a treatment center for recovering drug addicts and alcoholics. And I went there to get myself clean and sober in 98, where I just... I mean, like I said, I had a complete shift and turnaround in the matter of seconds. Frank Sinatra used to perform there, Sammy Davis Jr. The whole Rat Pack had been there, and it was quite run down at the time that it was taken over by these people that were getting people clean and sober. But nonetheless, I was guided to... Something said, you know, this is what I need to do. This is where I need to be. I couldn't do that route anymore. Life in the fast lane. We had lots of money and all of that stuff. And it was just, no more. I just don't want to live this way anymore. Something was leading me, guiding me to my higher self. And mm-hmm. there it was. And the person that had taken me literally tried to take me home in the parking lot at the time. And the voice said, get out of the car right now, Rael, now. Very lovingly, but very direct, out of the car. And he, you know, tried to pull me back and I got my arm loose and I closed the door and gave him the, you know, come here, you know, I've got to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Yes, and he did. And I just bawled like a baby and so did he. And, you know, and I said, look, this is it. My life is, from the time that I got out of the car and he came around to me, this is when I had this light, this liquid light just come into my body and just completely fill me up. And I knew by the time he got to me, I just, everything looked different. He looked different. And I said, everything's going to be okay. I said, I'm on my way. This is the change of my life.
Right
here and now.
Was there a sense of peace that eventually came through you?
Absolutely. Right then and there. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I know everybody kept saying, oh my God, she's on a pink cloud, you know. She's never going to make it. She's, you know.
Right. Either that or she's on drugs or something.
Right,
she's
exactly.
She's not normal, you know. let's avoid her.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And ever since then, I've just been, my life has been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously amazing. I've had so many amazing experiences, including, you know, seeing extraterrestrial vehicles and miracles like from my sister, and miracles of when we're in these groups, and I'm just so grateful, and I'm so grateful to be on your show, and very honored that you had asked me to be on the show and share from my heart with the listeners everything that I'm about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we've learned quite a bit. Just one quick question I do. You see a green light, you say, when you know it's a go.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a red light when it tells you that's something you shouldn't pursue? Or do you see an amber light when it's you should use caution? I mean, like traffic lights or something like that?
Yeah, no, I don't get so much light. It's more of a feeling. It's in,
okay.
It's in the feeling body for me that uh-huh. tells me, no, don't go there. I'm an empath. I'm very empathic, and I have been since I was a kid. I just wasn't accessing it until I had the higher self walk in.
Mm-hmm. And do you want to give that contact information out again?
Sure. The website, joyharmonics.life, is available with all the information on there, and there will be more coming. That's pretty much just a landing page. I have been so busy helping people and that I haven't really put myself out there, okay? So I'm just pretty much getting out into the public these days as far as a website and doing the expos and doing community healing fairs and such like that. So there it is, joyharmonics.life.
Mm-hmm. Well, one step at a time, right? I mean, it's good to get yourself out there. Again, that is one of the nice things about the World Wide Web is if you have your information out there, anybody can Google it, whatever.
Sure.
And they'll find you somehow, some way.
Yes.
If it's meant to be, it'll be, right?
That's correct. Absolutely. That's the way it works.
Right. Rael, thank you very much for being on the show today. Really appreciate it. Very interesting. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you again for having me. Thank you, listeners. Blessings to y'all. Are we done?
All right, I am back, and I just want to thank my guest for this month, Rael Vera Joy Hava. She is a doctor of divinity, also founder of Joy Harmonics, and she has been certified in several healing modalities, and she specializes in weaving light, color, and sound throughout the body. Very interesting. She's got a lot of different information and very interesting on how it works on the body. I'm glad that she was able to do the show. So I want to thank her very much for being on this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Be sure to join me for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking on the third Tuesday of next month. I want to thank my producer, Mike Entman, for this edition of the show. I really appreciate his work. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great day, everybody.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn. Featuring local and independent artists.